This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A major investment bank now says there's a 50-50 chance Greece gets pushed off the euro. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Negotiations for a new bailout arrangement for Greece collapsed last night. After an election last month, Greece has been pushing to ease its debt burden. Theo Leggett covers business and finance for our partner newsroom at the BBC. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
So negotiations broke down. What happened, do you think?
Well, there is a deadlock because the two sides in these negotiations have very different objectives. On the one hand, you have Greece, the Syriza government, a left-wing government, which was elected on a platform of unwinding the current bailout deal that Greece has from the Eurogroup and other international lenders. On the other hand, you have the remainder of the Eurozone, led by Germany. What they want is to ensure that Greece sticks to its current bailout program and that any money that's given to Greece is with strings attached. Otherwise, these ministers say anti-austerity movements elsewhere in the Eurozone would gain momentum, and of course it would be politically toxic in Germany, where taxpayers simply don't want to be seen to be funding Greece's mistakes.
So clearly brinksmanship going on here.
And I've just been speaking to one of the finance ministers who's closeted in a room in Brussels as we speak. And he said, what we're talking about here is really a form of words. Words can do anything. If they can find a form of words that is acceptable to Greece, that means the Greek government is not seen to be backing down on its electoral promises, and that Germany can say to its taxpayers, we haven't let Greece off scot-free, then we could get at least a short-term deal, which will give some breathing space and kick the can down the road for another few months.
BBC Business reporter Theo Leggett. Theo, thank you.
Thank you very much, David.
Let's check the numbers. With Commerzbank laying odds now that Greece could drop the euro at 1 in 2, the DAX index in Germany is down 0.3%, Athens down 2%, but the FT100 in London is up 0.4%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed to the point of being noncommittal. People of color in the U.S. face bias, either conscious or unconscious, when it comes to being hired and promoted. Now there's new research showing that bias may be exacerbated for job candidates who self-identify as black rather than as African American. Marketplace's Noel King reports.
In the study, white participants were shown one of two identical job applications. One candidate identified as black, the other as African American. Erica Hall, a professor at Emory University, is a co-author of the research.
The participants who viewed the black application thought that this candidate was lower socioeconomic status, had lower education, and was less likely to be in a managerial position.
Hall says even if a candidate doesn't self-identify, the professional organizations they belong to, say the African American Student Union or the Black Lawyers Association, can also be consequential, which is frustrating to Ginny Clark, a partner at Knightsbridge Human Capital Solutions, who specializes in diversity recruitment.
Now to make a further distinction that someone is affiliated with the Black Student Union versus the African American Student Union, come on!
Clark says hiring managers need to be trained to recognize and confront unconscious bias. I'm Noel King for Marketplace.
A lot of people, as they get closer to retirement, consider this move, not taking their Social Security payments when they're first eligible. Wait until they're 70, and you could get more if fate smiles on you and you live long enough. But there are thousands of rules governing Social Security, and to some, this spells opportunity. Lawrence Kotlikoff is a professor of econ at Boston University who, with two others, has written a new book called Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security. Larry, good morning.
Hey, good morning, David.
So the nitty-gritty of some of these strategies are in the book. What I need, Professor, is a story. And in the beginning of the book, you're on a tennis court with no less than Paul Solman at PBS NewsHour because, what, the two of you are who you are. The topic is when Paul should someday start with his Social Security?
Well, he was beating me pretty bad at tennis, so I decided we needed to take a break. And for 2 minutes, I just grilled him on what he was going to do on Social Security. And within about another 2 minutes, I made him about $50,000.
So the idea was his wife should at first start getting her benefit, but really at that same moment, put those benefits on hold, not when she was 70, but when she was a little younger.
Right. At full retirement age, his wife, Jan, filed and suspended for her benefits. This allowed Paul to file just for his spousal benefit, and this constituted $50,000.
You write in the book that if you're going to get remarried later in life, whatever you do, don't do it when you're 59 and a half or 59 and three quarters. Wait, for the love of Pete, until you're 60. Why?
Well, if you're 60 and you remarry, you can collect a widow or widower benefits on your ex-spouse if you were married for 10 or more years. If you get remarried a day short of 60, you're no longer eligible. So be patient, be aware of all the benefits you can collect, and then time the benefits so that you can get the most over your lifetime.
Larry, I was just talking to a 23-year-old who happens to be my daughter who just got her first grown-up pay stub. She's looking at the FICA line on the stub, and she asked me, is she ever going to see any of this in her life?
We have a policy of expropriating our children, fiscally speaking. Social Security is in terrible long-term fiscal shape, but we should not have a situation where some people get a lot of benefits and others get very little benefits just because they know the ins and outs of the system.
Boston University economics professor Lawrence Kotlikoff, along with Paul Salmon of PBS and personal finance writer Philip Mulder's new book is called Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security. Professor, thank you.
My pleasure.
And there's news today that Chinese e-commerce company Alibaba will not hand out red packets stuffed with cash to its employees, as is its Chinese New Year tradition. CEO Jack Ma said that, quote, exceptional accomplishments were not achieved in the past year. Alibaba's stock offering raised a record-breaking $25 billion last September, but its most recent profits were a miss, not a hit. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Meg Kramer. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.